School's out for summer, and Redbox has the video games to keep you entertained. With over 40,000 locations nationwide, you can rent and return anywhere. Better yet, you get a free one-night game rental from Redbox when you use the promo code STORIES2. Swing by a box in your neighborhood, or if you want to make sure the game you want is there when you arrive, reserve it online at redbox.com/games. Offer is valid through July 18th, 2017, subject to additional terms. Charges apply for additional nights. Payment card required. Getting into video games, it has never been so easy. Stories, too, you get your free one-night game rental. I'm excited to announce the launch of Stitcher Premium. It's the new subscription service that brings you all your favorite free and premium podcasts together under one roof. Stitcher Premium, you get access to the same exciting content as Howl. You get more than 250 hours of exclusive original shows, ad-free archives, bonus episodes, your favorite podcast, plus 9 extra episodes of Beautiful Anonymous. Don't forget, the Beautiful Anonymous live tour lives on Stitcher Premium. Now, if you're a Howl subscriber, great news. With Stitcher Premium, you don't have to switch apps to listen to premium content. Listen to the exclusive Howl shows you love in Stitcher alongside your favorite free podcasts. Your Howl account info, like favorites, playlists, listening history, it can be easily transferred over to Stitcher. To learn more about Stitcher Premium, including the live tour episodes, go to stitcherpremium.com/stories. Hello to all my lock changers. It's Beautiful Anonymous. It's 1 hour, one phone call, no names, no holds barred.
I'd rather go one-on-one. I think it'll be more fun. And I'll get to know you, and you'll get to know me.
Hello, everybody. It's Chris Gethard here. Very happy to be bringing you another episode of Beautiful Anonymous. Very lucky to be at the helm of this show, and very lucky that you guys all listen. Thank you, as always, for checking it out. Wanted to thank everybody who's checking out Stitcher Premium, checking out the Beautiful Anonymous live tour. We're putting 9 episodes of our live tour up there. If you want any explanation of why I'm doing it that way, like how everything breaks down in the Facebook group, I actually got a good discussion going about why we're putting the live tour on Stitcher Premium. It's what I think a lot of the shows at Earwolf do, and it made a lot of sense to me. This one, and a lot of people up there talking about their experiences with Stitcher Premium, so you can check that out. Speaking of that Facebook group, last week's episode, Country AF, for an episode that was largely chit-chatty, about 45 minutes of chit-chat, that last 15 minutes, really, there was a lot of, going in the Facebook group this week. Guns is an issue that I didn't even know how divisive it was, and I thought it was pretty divisive, but it is exponentially more divisive. Every time I went into the Facebook group, the Beautiful Anonymous of the community, this week, it was like touching a stove. Where every time I logged in, I was like, ah, is it gonna still hot in there? Oh, it's hotter than ever. I was personally fighting with people about guns, people fighting with me, with each other. God bless the moderators or whoever your deity or non-deity of choice is, I should say. Bless the moderators in that group. They had to deal with a lot of passion. And I also want to personally apologize to them. I think they were all a little nervous to say to me, hey, maybe you could personally cool out and get involved in some of these fights, but it was they weren't fights so much as they were kind of discussions of culture and some tense moments in there. But I think everybody, in a really beautiful way, also respectful, and putting out their first time in the history of the group, good old Sam Hodge. I think all the moderators would say he's the captain of the ship, myself included. He had to lock the comments thread on the episode discussion because it's getting too heated. That's never happened, where he had to step in and say, hey, the episode discussion thread, I got to shut off comments for a while so everybody can take a deep breath. But it was really productive and fun and eye-opening to read everybody's views on all of that stuff. And most of all, I'm very lucky. I feel so lucky that that community is one where people can get a little hot, put what they have to say on record, and then also this constant chorus of no, this is all just so we can talk to each other and nobody's looking to be mad or be a troll or anything. So if you're looking to join the Facebook group, I tell you, reading last week's posts, juicy. You're going to have a juicy time sinking your teeth into all those. Hot week in the Facebook group. Okay. This week's episode, very important for me right out of the gate. I haven't always been the most responsible about putting out trigger warnings. I want to right out of the gate say, if you're going to listen to this episode, I think it's a very interesting episode, fascinating episode. There are some triggers out there specifically related to trauma of a sexual nature. I'll put it out there. I know that affects people a lot. Letting you know right out of the gate, that that is something that comes up. Don't want to spoil things too much, but got to be responsible and say that, you know, that affects everybody. And if it affects you heavily, know that things like that are going to come out of there. And as you listen to the beginning of the episode, I think you'll be surprised. You'll go, wait, what? Because a lot of free and easy laughs flowing between me and the caller. Probably surprised to hear that it goes in a certain direction. And then also, even when it does come up, there's still some laughs in a way where I'm like, well, isn't that why we try to connect with other human beings, to try to find our way through some of this stuff, to connect on some level? So an episode that threw me for many loops. I bet it'll throw you for some loops, some things I didn't see coming. And overall, thank you to the caller for calling, and I hope you enjoy listening.
Thank you for calling Beautiful Anonymous. A beeping noise will indicate when you are on the show with the host.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Holy shit, this is awesome.
I think so, too. I think so, too.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm great. I'm resting today. I just got back from New York yesterday. The weather was amazing, which was unexpected.
Yeah, it was a really nice, warm day in New York yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually got to walk through Central Park all day Monday. And I go up to New York quite a bit, but I'd never really just been able to enjoy and not be on business.
I was walking,
really
around,
cool.
I was walking around Central Park yesterday with my wife, who's also quite a good friend of mine.
Hey, wait, let me take off my phone case so it doesn't sound like I'm in a bathtub.
Yeah, I think everybody would appreciate that. We're hearing right now the genuine sounds of a phone case being removed. Oh, hi, hello, hi.
Hi, I'm back.
Oh, yeah, you do sound less underwater now. Well done.
Hey, yeah, I've gotten a lot of comments about that, so I didn't think about it. I didn't think I was going to get through. I know everybody says that, but this is so cool. I want to make the most of every moment, so no more small talk.
Okay, wow. Throw down the gauntlet.
So you want to know about my life, and I love your comments. I know you always say you don't want to be a therapist or try and act as somebody's therapist, but I love how vulnerable you get along with your callers.
Well, that's
so
nice.
I like the give and take.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an emotional train wreck of a man, and I'm willing to put that out there. But I can't fix anybody, nor would I ever presume to or try to. But I'm happy to get emo.
Yeah. Oh, I love getting emo.
All right.
And you have a knack for pulling out the good stuff out of people.
Thanks. Every once in a while, Gether will get you. You know, Gether, sink my hooks in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to debate how much detail of my life to give because it's very specific. So anybody who kind of knows me would immediately recognize certain aspects of my life, but I've got good stories. I've got some crazy stuff.
Well, it's
interesting
all up to you.
Stuff.
It's all up to you. I can't. I'm not going to twist your arm.
Let's see. I'm a musician. That is my career of choice. I'm young. I'm 30 for my avenue of music. Opera, classical.
Wow, opera.
But. Yeah.
That's super competitive. That's a super competitive
awesome.
World.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just like any other part of the entertainment industry. You know, they always say the only top 1% make it. So
yeah,
find a side job kind of thing.
But I feel like I feel like being a comedian's competitive, and there's like 13 comedy clubs in New York City alone, plus all these shows. There's like 11 jobs in opera in the country.
Yeah, I mean, it's. And here in the States, it's not like it is in Europe where you can throw a rock and hit an opera house.
Oh,
but yeah, here
oh, yeah.
You go get your bachelor's degree in vocal performance and then go get a master's degree or a performance diploma. But, I mean, in undergrad, all of us singers would take 20 hours every semester, and that's classes with music theory, music history, and voice lessons and opera and coachings and acting. I mean, just everything. It's incredibly demanding and intensive. So you gotta love it.
Yeah.
It's just hours and hours and hours, and proficient in all the romantic languages and
what,
anything. I just.
What register are we talking here? What register are you in?
Soprano.
Ooh, the big time.
Yeah, I'm a soprano.
They call that the big time.
We're a dime a dozen.
No.
To some.
Right? You're the one shattering the windows at the end. You're the one who's breaking glass. You ever done that?
Yeah, there's a... I haven't. I guess it's kind of like a weird frequency. You gotta finesse. It kind of just doesn't happen. I've known people who've done that, but I've never tried.
Can you do that thing where you sing two notes at once? What's that thing called where you sing the two notes at once?
Polyphonics or multiphonics.
Yeah, multiphonics.
No, I can't.
I've watched some of those
YouTube videos.
Cool. They freak me out.
Heck yeah. Yeah. Going down those YouTube bunny trails.
Uh-huh. Bunny trails, rabbit holes, potato, potato. All right, that's cool.
Well, one crazy story. I have one pretty unique story.
Okay.
Or there's a bunch of them, but when I was 20, I married a guy the day I met him.
What?
And he was also a singer.
Why'd you do that?
Yep. Well, I mean, I've always been impulsive and adventurous, but to a fault. And at 20, I was just really naive and I had no life experience. I just left my parents' house to move somewhere else, and baby opera singer, just breaking into what I wanted to do. And I was researching, because I like to research and know things. And I found his website and just contacted him because he was beautiful and he'd sung all over the world. And I thought, I want to know how he did it. I want to know all of his story. So I contacted him and he contacted me back. And he found my MySpace, I think that's what it was, and said, "You're beautiful. Let me call you." And so email dialogue turned into phone dialogue. And after just 2 weeks of that, it was, "I'm in love with you. Let's get married." So
over the phone.
I mean, I was all on board. I was, all over the phone.
The proposal happened over the phone. You'd never met in person. You'd never met in person and you were engaged?
Right, yeah. It was because we would talk for hours and hours. And he was much older. He was about 15 years older than me. So I was 20, he was 35.
Uh-huh.
And I felt like he got me, like he knew me. Nobody had ever gotten me like he did. And it just, I was suckered into it so hard. Because at that point, I never denied myself anything that I wanted. Emotionally, if I wanted something, I went after it. I didn't think about logic. Logic did not enter my brain as an option until late 20s. So when I'm presented with this fantasy of running away with this other opera singer, falling in love, and just immediately believing it was all real, I never once questioned it. I just dove in.
Wow.
So
he was
2 weeks later.
He's a good looking guy, huh?
Yeah, he was a good looking guy.
All right. Real romance. We're talking
definitely
real modern romance here. So 2 weeks later, he flies you. You
charming said he flies as hell.
You? Charming as hell. Okay.
Yeah, he flew me up to meet him, picked me up at the airport. We went to the courthouse, got a marriage license. 6 hours later, we got married.
What?
Yep.
That sounds...
the whole weekend.
If this was set to song, it would just be an opera.
Exactly. I've heard that so many times, that this is an opera right there.
I thought I was making an original joke.
Duly noted.
So how's the family react? How's the family react when you marry a guy you've known for one quarter of one day?
Oh, God. That was an ordeal. I'm close with my family. I have three siblings, and they're all younger. So they were all teenagers, barely teenagers, when this happened. And I didn't tell my family for a whole month. I had mentioned to them, I mean, I went back to where I was living. We got to spend like 4 days together, me and the new husband. And then I went back to where I was living because I was in the middle of undergrad. And I told my family. Yeah. I told my family, hey, I met somebody. I want you to meet him. They're like, wow, that was fast. You know, in my head, I'm thinking, you have no idea. So I say, I'm going to bring him home because my birthday was in a month. I was turning 21.
Uh-huh.
And I.
So your husband could take you out to drink legally.
Right. Oh, that's totally what we did, too. Your husband, brought him there, and it was on my birthday.
He took you out for 21 shots at the college bar.
Well, he did take me out. I got drunk and then came back home and told them. But they were freaking out as it was because he was 35. I mean, he was, I think, 9 years younger than my mom. And I brought him home and it was like midnight and we were sitting on the couch in the living room. And I was like, so we have a surprise. And my mom looked at me like dead look on her face. And she said, are y'all engaged? And I said, nope, we're already married.
And then what's your mom's face? Yeah, how's that go?
It was just, they were stunned. My dad was like, I'm not surprised because I was just impulsive and it was not something that was it was within my reach of things that I'd probably do. My siblings were just kind of like, I don't know what the hell's going on. They were so young and they didn't look at him like a brother-in-law ever. I mean, he was old enough to be their dad pretty much. But it was, I was just kind of blind. I was all enamored with the fantasy of it and it was glamorous and I was in love. So I didn't consider what they felt at all at the time. And I ended up flunking out of that semester because he would come see me on the weekends, fly to see me, or I would go see him. And I moved to where he was at Christmas, dropped out of school.
Whoa.
And traveled. Yeah. I traveled with him on his gigs because he was working. And I got to see a side of the business I had never fathomed just by being an observer because I was so new to the whole opera world. I learned so much and I ended up going back to school a year later in the town we were living in, city we were living in, and started getting my own work. And it was really lucky because it's just usually, I mean, now 10 years later, I understand very much that rejection is a huge part of this career. You just roll with it. It happens 9 times out of 10. And then one person will think you're exactly what they need and hire you and it snowballs. But starting out, I didn't get any rejection. I was just really lucky. And I don't want to dive too much into that marriage because it ended up being really terrible, really, really awful. There were a lot of skeletons in his closet that came to light.
And you don't say that a 35-year-old man who marries a 20-year-old girl after knowing her for 6 hours has some dark secrets. Oh, really? Wow. I got to say, give me a second to gather myself because I'm blindsided right now by that revelation that guy had some issues.
Oh, God.
How long were you married?
3 years.
3 years.
Yes.
So you gave it you gave it a good shot.
Yeah. I mean, the reality hit about 6 months after we got married, and I thought, well, fuck, I've just got, sorry, Callie.
Oh, that's okay.
I've got to just make the most of it. So I thought, I got myself into this. I'm going to, got to figure it out and make it work. And I thought, he's my husband. So I devoted so much to him, and I was still figuring myself out. I didn't really know who I was, what I wanted, because I had had a difficult time up until then emotionally, like just growing as a teenager, as a child. I had a lot of issues I needed to work out as well, but he ended up being batshit crazy. And I don't want to go too much into him. Cause
can I have one example? Can I just have
people do know?
Yeah, I'm not trying to, I don't want you to out anybody. I'm not trying to look, I understand you come from a very small world where a lot of people probably know each other.
Yes.
I'm not trying to out anybody, but I would be remiss if I said, just, you brought up twice, you've used the phrase batshit crazy, skeletons in the closet. If there's even one example, I'd love that.
Oh God. There's one doozy, but I'm not going to share that. It would be way too revealing.
A doozy. Oh, I'm missing out on a doozy. I love a doozy.
Yeah, you got to miss out on the doozy.
That's okay.
Side note. Anytime I've had success and like an interview comes out, or it's radio or whatever, article about me, about some success, he has a Google alert on me, and he like will bombard me with emails to this day, like afterwards, saying shit like, how dare you mention me in that article when all I said was I was married once and it was a trying time. And it lends itself to me on my character interpretation on stage. Uh-huh. So he'll go crazy anytime I mention the marriage, not even him, but just the fact that I was married and it was difficult. He will.
So you're not even naming
bombard
names.
Me with emails. No, not even names.
Yeah. So you
it's
should
all very vague and ambiguous.
While the greedy entertainer side of me wants you to share stuff, hearing that you're basically being stalked by a man who married you when you were largely still a child. Yeah, I can see why maybe we want to take our foot off the gas on that.
Yeah. So when I did leave him, when I finally got the courage to leave him, I had to do it secretively. I told him, well, I had to fly somewhere for work. And it was one of the first times I was away from him, because we were always together. And he always had to be there. He was also my vocal coach and voice teacher.
Oh, boy.
Or he acted that way.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I mean, he was a brilliant musician. So I learned a lot. But
that sounds good. But
like
it sounds like emotion.
In the practice room.
It does sound a little bit like it became like a weird control situation, huh?
Oh, majorly. Majorly. So I went to... I flew somewhere by myself for work, and then it was right at Thanksgiving, and I said, I really want to see my family, because he hated my family, and it had gotten to a point where he didn't support me even visiting them or seeing them. And I said, I really want to go see my family for Thanksgiving. It's been like a year or a year and a half since I've seen them, which is crazy, because I grew up very close to them. And so I went home, and I ended up confiding everything to my mom, and I've kept so many things secret about him and what had been going on in the marriage and how things were. And I said, I can't do this anymore. I'm not gonna be able to live if I stay in this marriage. And she said, all right, well, let's just get you out of this. So we got in the car with my dad. We drove like 10 hours to where I was living. It was about a 10-hour drive from my hometown, and surprised him and because he was going to, he had expected to pick me up at the airport a few days later. And I knocked on the door, he answered, and I said, I'm leaving you. I'm here to get my stuff and go. And it took every ounce of courage I possessed to say those words. But my parents were standing there behind me, and he just kind of was stunned, of course. And he looked at me and he was like, what? I had to repeat it again. And he said, give me a moment. I need to process this. And I was like, okay, sure. So he shut the door. And in a matter of less than 60 seconds, he had changed all of the locks on the apartment.
In 60 seconds?
That's the kind of person he was.
No, that's physically, yeah. Impossible. You need to get out tools.
No, this is the kind of person he was.
Getting out tools and stuff.
He was a con man. And that's already giving away too much.
Change a lock in 60 seconds? I can't. Change a lock in 60. There's not many things I can do in 60 seconds, but in a little more than that time, what I can do is tell you about some of the fine advertisers that help make this show happen, tell you about their services, their products. I'm going to go ahead, hear from them. Please do use those promo codes. It helps the show. And we'll be back with more phone call right after this. For almost 20 years, Honest Tea has committed to being transparent and authentic through its organic and fair trade certified bottled teas and kids' juice drinks. They produce a refreshingly honest product, both with what's in their bottle and in their outlook. Just take a sip, taste the honest difference. I myself currently holding it in my hand, this is no joke, drinking an organic half tea, half lemonade from Honest Tea. It is delicious. I feel really great about it. I'm joining Honest Tea in celebrating the lighthearted ways we're less than perfect through the refreshingly honest product. What is hashtag refreshingly honest? Sharing your truth, okay? In exchange for the aha moment when we realize through a shared laugh, a like, or a sigh of relief. Everybody is like us. Everybody's imperfect. I'm a big believer in this philosophy. Nobody's perfect. Who cares? We all are what we are. This is something that Honest Tea really believes in. Isn't that refreshingly honest? Like me. Like you guys have heard about me cooking on the show. You guys have heard me talking about these meals with my wife. Guess what? Every time my wife cooks, it looks beautiful. When I cook, sometimes it looks like a big mess, but it tastes good, and we enjoy it together. The dishes that taste the best are the ones that generally aren't the ones that are social media worthy. For me, I'm imperfect, perfectly imperfect. Hashtag refreshingly honest. Are you refreshingly honest? Share the fun and funny ways you're less than perfect on social media. Use the hashtag refreshingly honest. And if you want more honesty, you can learn more by visiting honesttea.com/podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Thumbtack. Thumbtack makes it easy to find and hire skilled local professionals for anything on your list. From home improvement projects to event planning to personal wellness, Thumbtack connects you with professionals offering more than 1,100 different services nationwide. Simply tell Thumbtack a little bit about your project, then within 24 hours, you'll have up to 5 estimates from local pros that match your criteria. Check out their prices and reviews. Chat with them directly if you need more information. Pretty much anyone you need to hire is on Thumbtack. Carpet cleaners, personal trainers, photographers, piano teachers, whatever you want. Help you find pros in over 1,000 different categories in all 50 states. Thumbtack, it's very cool. I tell you, I've been through this. I just went through a whole thing renovating my house. I needed contractors. My wife right now, taking piano lessons, brushing up, getting ready for our TV show. There's all these things. It's always hard to find. You're going to all these different sites to find them. No. You put them in one place. You use this site that organizes them for you. No matter the project, you'll find the help you need on Thumbtack. Thumbtack makes it easy to find pros for pretty much anything you need done. Download the app or try it now at thumbtack.com. That is thumbtack.com. Thank you so much to all the sponsors who helped me bring you this show for free. Please do use their services. Use those promo codes. Helps Beautiful Anonymous out when you do. And now let's get back to the phone call. You need to get out tools.
No, this is the kind of person
getting out
he
tools
was.
And stuff.
He had, yes. He was a con man, and that's already giving away too much, but he had, like, spare locks and wiretapping equipment and
whoa,
all kinds of stuff. Like, yeah, that's a glimpse into the crazy that was that marriage. And he was so paranoid. He changed all the locks and wouldn't let me in the house, like, just within less than a minute. And my dad said, if you don't open this door, I'm going to call the cops, which is the last thing that he wanted, because the cops wanted him. If they would have found him, it would have been bad.
So he's a fugitive,
he's hiding from them.
A fugitive from the law.
You see, opera companies don't do background checks on their singers. They have no idea if they have all this shit in their past or that they're this kind of person legally. They don't do it, which is crazy, but there's that. So that's a glimpse into his crazy. And then the thing was, since I got myself into that situation, I thought, I'm going to get myself out of this. I don't want anybody's help. So I didn't hire a lawyer to do the divorce. I downloaded divorce papers online for $200 and I filled out every single form and sent them to him. And this is over the process of a few months. I mean, that whole leaving him being done with that, it completely broke me. He broke me. I was just a fucking mess. And I was 24 at that point, barely 24. And I sent him the divorce papers and he refused to sign them. He thought I was going to go back to him. And the kicker was, he and I both had contracts to sing together at an opera company the following summer. And that was already in the books. And I kept going back and forth of if I should back out, but no, this is a wonderful opportunity with a wonderful company that I love. And I didn't want to give that up just because he was going to be there. So months later, still haven't signed the papers, and we are sequestered together.
You did it?
In this company. Yeah, I did it.
Oh, you love trouble. You love
trouble. I am not
trouble.
One to run away from anything.
Oh.
Arguably, yes. Yes, I do.
When you were 24, at the very least, you loved trouble.
I still have a weakness for it, which comes... Oh, that's other stories. Anyway, so that whole summer, I sang with him, and it was volatile. He actually brought his new girlfriend up there with him, thinking it was going to make me jealous and want to come back to him.
Yeah.
So I got to be around her that whole summer, too, and everyone spoke to her. I mean, it was a large group of people, so it wasn't like we were alone ever, but that was incredibly difficult. And some shit went down at the end of the summer, and I don't want to give too much of his dirty shit, but cause it really is so specific to who he is, and I don't want him to be found out. But he got arrested at the end of the summer, and it was big drama. Everybody, all my colleagues found out all of these secrets that I had been keeping for him. And it was a huge relief. I didn't have to hide any of it anymore. And he was basically blacklisted from every company here. Wow. And ended up leaving the country, or having to leave the country.
Wow.
Or choosing to leave the country, I guess.
I'm just going to ask.
And he finally signed those papers like a few months later.
Good.
After a year,
that's
he signed
good.
The divorce papers.
That's good. I will also say to you, there is a lot of information out here, and here's what I'm going to say. If you're listening, just be cool and stay off of Google. Let it be anonymous. That's the whole deal.
Yes.
And if you gotta be curious, don't go tweeting at me about it. I don't need, I keep it anonymous.
Please.
Real. You know what I think? You drove those 10 hours with your parents to get back to your house to divorce them. Or to tell him you were leaving?
Yeah.
That also means you had to drive home 10 hours after that, huh?
Yes.
That ride home is the most awkward 10 hours of everybody's life, huh?
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, I was so in a daze and just completely emotionally spent that I slept the whole time. I just laid in the back of the truck. It was like not the bed of the truck, but in the back. I laid in the back and just slept for 10 hours, and my parents supportive and quiet. And
here's my vision of that trip. Here's my vision of the trip. It's like silent for the first 2.5 hours, And then all of a sudden your mom's like, that got weird. And then your dad's like, yeah, why'd you do any of that? Why'd you marry that guy? Your mom's like, it's like 2.5 hours of silence. And your mom's like, how did he change the lock so fast? And then your dad's like,
yeah,
why would you ever get involved with that guy? And then it's just like 6 more hours of silence.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. That's pretty dead on, I think.
That's cool. So I also, again, I want people to stay off the Google, but you say there's press, there's articles about you. You're a person of some renown, huh?
Oh, I don't want to say that. No. I'm still at the bottom of the totem pole, but I mean, I've had some successes.
That's cool.
That I'm very proud of.
And you said you come up to New York for work stuff, huh?
Yep. I'm actually moving up there a little after Christmas.
Oh, that's nice.
To really catapult some stuff.
That's cool. I got a neighbor who is an opera singer, or an aspiring opera singer. Never met the person. Can't say that that's for certain. Can say they practice at home. Can say that.
Yep, that's always one of our biggest fears living in a big city is noise.
Oh, yeah.
People complaining about the noise.
Having neighbors like
people
me.
Don't realize
I can only hear it from my bathroom, which is a place where I personally appreciate some peace and quiet. The forceful baritone stylings of someone. That's nice.
Well, people don't realize that we have to pay for rehearsal spaces. Like, when you're in a big city, I'm lucky that I can go to my school that I graduated from and use the facilities for free. But like in New York, anytime you want to rehearse or work on music, you got to pay for it.
You either got to pay for it or bother my building in Jackson Heights, Queens. If anybody out there is listening who knows an opera singer in Jackson Heights, Queens, please tell him I personally asked him to chill out. Chill out. Look, you know that
I love it.
You and I were in Central Park less than 24. We could have passed by each other in Central Park, never even known it.
We totally could have, because I walked that entire park. My pedometer said 10 miles. What I walked.
That's
on
nice.
Monday.
Yeah, I was there yesterday for a couple hours. That's cool. Come up for
Very
work
cool.
stuff. Married a criminal when you were a child. So okay, that's good.
Oh my god.
Folks helped. We're only halfway done. We're only halfway done.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I have a lot of vulnerable things. I know as a listener, when I listen to your show, I love it when callers get vulnerable, because that's when you can connect with somebody. I mean, there have been moments when you've talked to some callers and they've just disclosed struggles that they've had and personal issues. And I don't care what their job is as a human being. I love feeling connected to them, and like I know that pain, I know what they're going through, I can sympathize. So, and it's hard for me to get vulnerable with some of the pain in my past, but I know that's the heart of when we connect with other human beings. So I'm willing to go there. It's just there's a lot of ugly stuff.
Spoken like a true artist. And hey, you know me, I'm all ears. Whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
I'm here. Whatever you don't want to say, I'll also just be here existing. So that's what I got to offer. But you don't have to force it. But if you like the vulnerability, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do. I can't imagine, being that you just shared that you are effectively a child bride to an abusive criminal, I can't imagine what you're like. Yeah, but I want to hold back on the real stuff.
Well, I dealt with that part. I don't have any emotional connection to that part of my past, but there are some things that I still, they're so vulnerable. But I mean, that part of what I do is being able to get vulnerable on stage and give something to the audience, to people listening, and make them feel something.
Right.
So I very much want to do that, even though it's hard. it's rewarding and cathartic. And I mean, just connecting with anybody, that's what we all want, just a human connection.
Every minute of every day is,
I guess,
I feel like every minute of every day for me is simultaneously craving human connection while doing anything to avoid human contact. That's like,
yes.
I want human connection and I fear human contact, especially as a New Yorker. New Yorker, my whole training, everything that you're trained to do as a New Yorker, just by the daily rhythms of life, is if you are in a subway and anything remotely abnormal happens, is to just tighten up and try to get out of there ASAP. That's it. That's being a New Yorker. Avoid all human connection or contact and just pray you connect with another human. Okay, anyway, you were saying, go for it.
Well, yeah. So if I can get vulnerable and connect with anybody listening, then it's worth it. That's what I want to do. So this is a doozy. This is a big one. Okay.
Doozy. I love a doozy.
Just warning you.
Yeah, I'm ready. You've heard some of the things people have told me on this show. Okay.
No, I know you like the doozies.
I'm braced for it.
Okay, so
a year
and a half ago, I started dating this guy a year and a half ago, and he was completely different from anybody I had ever been with. He was not a musician because I was in the middle of taking some time off. I got a little burnout. I needed to just make sure I was in a place where I was not defined by my talent, that I, being an opera singer, was not who I was, but what I did. So I was in this quest to make sure I was a fully rounded person alone, and that I didn't need to source my happiness from gigs and what I did on stage. So I met this guy, so different, covered in tattoos, bald, piercings. He was a recovering heroin addict, but he was so incredibly intelligent and creative, and I felt pretty hard for him. And I've had a lot of relationships in my life. I can't say that I've been madly, passionately in love, but I've had all different kinds of love. And this guy was something special, and I really fell for him. At the same time, right before Christmas, my mom confirmed something. I'll get into the details of this, but my mom confirmed something to me that happened in my childhood that I wasn't sure of. And I was fucking reeling from this information. I didn't know what to do with it. So this relationship is going along. I'm completely invested. And literally overnight, he wakes up one morning and like had a psychotic break. And said, I don't know what love is. I don't love you. I don't know if I ever loved you. I can't be in this relationship. Just, he was a completely different person, woke up that way. And I don't have exact confirmation, but I mean, it very much was like a schizophrenic, psychotic kind of break thing that he had. Because it was just in pure insanity how he went from one person on a Friday night to Saturday morning, completely lost his mind. So that relationship ended very abruptly, and it was devastating, horribly traumatic, because I loved him very much. And I was also dealing with, my mom confirmed to me that I had been molested as a child, and I had never had any kind of visual memory. I had emotional memories, and I didn't know what they were, but anytime I've gone to therapy for most of my adult life, and every time a different therapist would say, were you molested as a child? And I'd say, no, absolutely not. I have no memory of that. But they always would ask that based, I guess, off of how I've processed certain things in my life and reacted to certain things. So when my mom said that, I was just floored. It's like, what? I was. She's like, yeah, you don't remember? And I said, absolutely not. I never went to therapy. Y'all never put me in therapy. And my parents are, I love them, and they have done the best they could with what they knew how, as far as raising me and my siblings, but they are very close-minded, conservative, small town, and don't support any kind of therapy. I mean, they do now, but at the time, any kind of mental health issues were solved by praying it away. And they just didn't put me in therapy when I was a kid over it. I mean, I was a toddler through like age 6 when it happened. And I started really kind of paying attention to these emotional memories that I had, trying to figure it out. And then I started having actual visual memories of what happened. And it was enraging. I've never been so full of rage in my entire life. I just thought, what the fuck? What am I supposed to do with this now? How do I process this information? It makes so much sense as far as certain things that have happened in my life and how I've reacted to them. It made a lot of sense. And I was just incredibly angry and I didn't know how to deal with it. And on top of that breakup happening, I found myself in a moment of very calmly and methodically planning to kill myself. And I thought, I have no hope. There's no reason for me to exist right now. I mean, I don't see any hope in the future. I had lost a lot of friends through my self-discovery over the past year. I had weeded out a lot of negative energy, and I wanted to fill my life with things that enhanced it and not things that were just purely to do with my career or shallow friendships. I wanted meaningful things. So I had kind of weeded out a lot of things in my life, and I found myself in a moment of being starkly alone and dealing with this twisted, ugly thing that has happened and losing someone I had loved. I was in a place of not working because I had taken off time, and I was finding it hard to get the motivation and the passion back. So I really had it all planned out of wanting to kill myself. And I've only told this to maybe a couple of people, my closest friends. And I remember being in that place, and I've been in some rock bottoms before in my life. And that marriage that completely broke me. And I remember feeling that feeling of utter despair, no hope. And somehow I worked my way out of it. And I thought, I've had the strength before. I know I'm capable of it, even though I absolutely see no reason to live right now. I know I've been strong enough before, and I've worked my way out of some really horrible things emotionally. So maybe I can do it this time. So I took it literally like 1 hour at a time. I didn't eat or sleep or leave the house for a solid week, but I kind of took it an hour at a time and then a day at a time, and found myself in a place where it wasn't enticing anymore, this outlet of trying to kill myself or wanting to kill myself. And I thought, I can do this. I can work out of this. And I know eventually hope will be there, even though it's not there now. But I've been here before, and I know, even though I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, I know it'll be there. It was just kind of a blind faith. And I eventually worked my way out of it. And that was incredible to think back on now, knowing how low I got. But I never thought I would ever be in a place of very calmly considering suicide. It was just mind-blowing how easy that option became. And I've always had a lot of empathy and compassion for anyone with mental illness or dealing with thoughts of suicide, even though I didn't understand it, I was very compassionate. But actually being in that place, it's just, it still blows my mind of how easy it was to slip into that and how absolute it felt. I don't know how I worked out of it, but I did. Are you still there? I feel like I've been talking forever.
Well, we can no longer call this episode Kooky Opera Singer.
Oh, my God.
I guess we're going to have to come up with a new title, because I thought this one was going to be called Kooky Opera Singer. And we're not calling it that anymore.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry all those things happened to you. That's brutal. I'm sorry. Let's, everybody, take a step back, process what's happening. And in the meantime, what I'm going to do, a great way to take a break. You know, this show does come to you for free. I think a lot of people enjoy that. That's because of capitalism, advertising. So we do have to give some ads. And the ads have promo codes. It really helps the show when you use those. So check these things out. We'll be right back with more phone call right after that. I promise. Today's show is brought to you by Away. Away offers a high-quality luggage that's designed to be resilient, resourceful, and essential to the way you travel. It's available in 9 colors, 4 sizes, including carry-on sizes that are compliant with all major U.S. airlines. The Away suitcase, it's lightweight, unrivaled in strength, and impact resistance. Not to mention, features a TSA-approved combo lock, 4 360-degree spinner wheels, and a patent-pending compression system to help overpackers. Better yet, both sizes of the carry-on. Listen up. This is incredible. This blew my mind when I saw it. You can charge anything. It's powered by a USB cord. You charge this suitcase. It can recharge your iPhone 5 times. Recharge your iPhone 5 times by plugging it into your suitcase. That blew my mind. It was incredible. And also, guess what? Lifetime warranty. If anything breaks, they'll fix it or replace it for you for life. That is incredible. I got one of these suitcases, and it shows up. It's in this nice cloth sack. I take it out. I'm like, whoa, this thing looks cool. I open it up on the inside. I'm like, man, it has all a whole series of systems set up to hold your clothes. Being a stand-up comedian mostly means killing time at layovers. When I realized this thing had multiple USB chargers, when I realized that this thing was built in a way, it has a compartment, has a pull-out bag for your dirty clothes. I mean, they have thought of everything. It's cool. It's just cool, okay? You can try out Away for 100 days. You vibe with it, travel with it, Instagram it. If at any point you decide it's not for you, you return it for a full refund. Shipping's free within the lower 48 states. If you want $20 off a suitcase, you visit awaytravel.com/stories. Use promo code STORIES during checkout. That's $20 off. awaytravel.com/stories. Promo code STORIES. $20 off your Away suitcase. Just wanted to remind you, we have not plugged this in a while. If you have a story, you feel like it's not being told, you feel like you're not being represented in some way, where you come from, what experiences you've had, who you are, you can always drop us a voicemail. Let me know what that story is. 802-392-3288. Call up, leave a voicemail. Just briefly explain who you are, what your story is. And we got people who go through those. And we try to represent a diverse show full of lots of different stories and paths that have been walked. So please do. You feel like you're not hearing something that sounds like your story out there? Let us know about it. We're going to do our best to make sure everybody is represented on this show. Thank you again to all of our advertisers. Let's go ahead and finish off this phone call. I guess we're going to have to come up with a new title, because I thought this one was going to be called Kooky Opera Singer. And we're not calling it that anymore.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry all those things happened to you. That's brutal. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean,
I have a lot of problem with childhood stuff and kids stuff. That's obvious, I think, for many of us. That's a really brutal thing to hear. And I'm so sorry. And I'm so glad you did push through all those feelings and hang on. And I've been there. I'm on record like it was saying that. And I'm so happy I'm happy you found your way out of that.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, I'm at a point now where I can talk about it and not shake uncontrollably. It's just something in my past. I dealt with it.
Yeah. And are you seeing a professional?
No, I haven't been. I haven't seen a therapist in probably 3 years or so, but I mean, I have the tools and the emotional tools and the self-awareness where
that's
I'm pretty resilient.
That's very good to hear. That's very good to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm bummed out. I'm thrown by that. I'm sorry. Do you think I would have to imagine looking back on that I would have to imagine there's some element of like you getting married to this guy is not purely about your craving of adventure and whimsy. I would have to imagine there's some issues that got tied up from a young age that helped lead to that too.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, there were some other things in my teenagehood. Like, I mean, this isn't a big thing at all. I lost my virginity by being raped. And it was because
is a big thing.
In that moment, it's a big thing, but I mean, it was 13 years ago and I've absolutely dealt with it since then. But in that moment, I remembered just being in headlights, completely frozen, had no idea how to react to the whole situation. And I went into this place in my head of completely escaping. And there were moments like that completely make sense now because that's what I did as a child. I mean, I know it's heavy shit, but it's what happened. And I've dealt with it. And it's hard to hear, but when I've heard other people talk about things like this, it helped me to realize that I wasn't alone and I wasn't the only one that had experienced something like that. And there was some solidarity in hearing somebody else talk about it that had gone through it and dealt with it. And I'm not confined by these moments of pain in my past. You know, I kind of always hate it when people have said, God never gives you more than you can handle. I've always thought that was bullshit because these moments in my life were absolutely more than I could handle at that moment. But because of that, I became more than I was. I was given more than I could handle. And because of it, I became a person stronger than I was before, more than I was before. And I'm incredibly grateful for who I am now. I have a lot of self-love, self-respect. I really like my perspective on life, how I process the world around me, but it was hard earned and I appreciate everything I've experienced to put me to who I am now. So this tough shit that I'm talking about, that's hard to hear sometimes. I own it. I mean, it's part of who I am and yeah, it's rough, but talking about it and hearing other people talk about it was a big factor in me overcoming some stuff.
I think that's really beautiful. And I think hearing how, you know, how strong you are and how you're able to just lay this all out is very inspiring. I feel like if, you know, again, I don't even know your name. We've been talking for 46 minutes. Who knows? I will say, I feel like you could sit down with a shrink and go, you know, I'm a professional in the world of opera. It's highly competitive, high pressure situation. And a shrink would be like, yeah, we got a lot to talk about. And then if you're like, yeah, and also I was in love with a recovering drug addict. He had a psychotic break and that love ended abruptly. They'd be like, wow, okay, really throwing some fuel in the fire. And then you're like, and also when I was 20, I married a man for 3 years. He wound up being a con man criminal who basically held me emotionally captive. They'd be like, hey, we might want to pump the brakes. And then if you're like, also I was lost my virginity via rape and was molested as a child, they'd be like, all right, well, this is why I got my doctorate. Like, this is, I just want to say, and I'm saying that not to judge. I'm glad you're laughing about it. I'm saying it so very sincerely to say that listening to you, you sound so strong. And I agree with you totally that I think one of the most damaging things about so many issues is that we don't feel this freedom to talk about them. And hearing you say, talking about them makes me feel better, hearing other people, that is an empowering thing. That is a thing that chases away so much trauma and stigma, and that's beautiful. But I would be remiss if I didn't just say, for anybody who's listening, also know you don't have to be that strong, and that anybody who's out there maybe being triggered by some stuff, if they're hearing this, is that there's a lot of people willing to step up and listen and help who are trained to do so, and that there's no shame or harm in seeking out those people. If you're listening and you haven't landed where our very resilient caller has landed. I think that's fair to say, right?
Yeah. definitely triggers. I'd never thought of that.
Yeah, you, there's a lot of triggers. A lot of triggers in your story, which is so sad. So sad. You're legit doing okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm in a really good place in my life. I'm incredibly happy, and I'm getting back. I mean, after taking a break from singing for almost a year, I got back into it several months ago, and it's been wonderful. There's been some really cool changes on the horizon, and I'm making a real go of it. And at the same time, yeah.
That's cool.
And this is important to me. I'm finally doing it because I love it and not because it is my only source of happiness or defines me. I'm so much more than just an opera singer. I've got so much more to give as a human being and a person. It's just something that I love and that I do, and that is my career. But I'm doing it now from a very different perspective. So I've like gone to different kinds. I went to my first rock show. I'd never been to like a concert that wasn't classical.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Who'd you see?
I was dating a drummer at the time, and it was just like a bunch of local people in my city or local bands in my city.
Mm-hmm.
But I love like bluegrass and kind of blues rock, like Stevie Ray, and it was a lot of that kind of stuff, and being around other kinds of artists, it was really cool. It was important for me to get out of this classical music bubble and expand my social skills, because I mean, I am an introverted person, but not shy. I think you've mentioned this kind of thing before, like I'm fueled by my alone time, and the life is sucked out of me with a lot of social interaction. But I was able to like stretch my wings and test my limits and get to know different sides of myself by being around all these different types of people.
And do you find that with your own art that's making it more joyous or affecting it in any way? So, like when that being that you're able to sort of let go of your art as this necessity and you're rounding out the other aspects of your life, when you go back to your art, does that just change the approach, change the effects of it on your life?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of freedom that wasn't there before that I feel. Maybe a lack or just the inhibitions cast completely aside.
That's a great feeling.
Pretty cool.
Let me ask you, what is, like, as far as opera singing goes, is that the style of writing or is that the style of singing? You know, is opera the music written on the page, or is it the style you sing with? Or is it some combination of
arguably
both?
Arguably, it's the style.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can sing anything in an operatic style.
What are the very basics? What can you tell me? We have 7 minutes left. What can you tell me about the basics of operatic style? If it's breathing techniques, whatever it is, that can allow me to sing one opera note. I think everybody saw this coming when you mentioned you're an opera singer. But what is it? Is it a breathing technique? Do I need to stand up? I'm standing. I'm going to stand up. I'm standing up out of my chair. I'm adjusting the microphone. So
I'm standing with you. So an opera singer, it's incredibly physical. People don't realize how physical it is.
Yeah.
Like when we sing, we are trained to project. So it's the sound, but you want to create it healthily. So your larynx has to be low. Your throat has to be very relaxed and open.
No
and
belting.
The breath is everything. Breath controls
everything.
The...
Breath is everything. Okay.
The volume and the vibrato. Vibrato is big for opera.
Hey, you don't got to tell me
and
twice.
And your diaphragm...
uh-huh. Vibrato, diaphragm. Uh-huh. I'm flexing. All the guys in the booth are looking at me. I'm standing. I'm flexing. Getting my diaphragm tight. Deep breaths.
So the most seasoned of opera singers, they have this technique. When you sing, your rib cage is expanded. So like when you take a huge breath, you fill from the bottom of your lungs up, and you leave your lungs expanded.
Uh-huh.
Like even when you exhale, your ribs are extended, and that it, you have to use so much of your core. Like your abs have got to be beast mode.
Beast mode abs, yeah. No, people have referred to my abs as beast mode before. Okay. And what do I do? You just want me to let loose here?
A new Google search. Yeah, you just you take a breath and you sing full voice vibrato.
I'm gonna step back from the mic a little bit. Like, so blow it out. Okay, so I'm trying to breathe. Deep breath from the bottom of the lungs. Leave the rib cage open, and then. How was that? Felt pretty
good. That was marvelous. That was so good.
Thank you so much. I felt pretty good about it. Felt pretty great about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I might have some chops.
I love that.
I'm like, you tell a joke now. Now you tell a joke. You do what I do now. You do a joke. Some crowd work into a smooth setup and knock down that punchline.
I'm terrible with jokes.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm doing what you do. What I do now. You got to take That's the worst thing about being a comedian is when people are like, oh, yeah, you're a comedian? Say something funny. It's the worst thing in the world.
So exactly.
To turn that back around on you, not fair. Not fair.
Yeah, as opera singers, we have the same thing. When we tell people we're an opera singer, they're like, oh, can you sing us something?
Yeah.
The same kind of thing. It drives us nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it's good to sing. You never know who's listening, but...
Hey, you got to make moves. You got to network in this world. Who knows? But not everybody can just out of nowhere go, That's pretty good. Not as good as the first one. That wasn't as good as the first one. That's okay. That's fine. We're both artists. We're both artists here. We connect on that level. That's fine.
Yes. I feel like I've done way too much talking.
Well, it is a podcast that's based around the idea of conversation, so I wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
You had a lot to say.
It's gone by so fast.
I
can't believe how fast it went by.
Got under 4 minutes left. You had a lot to say and a lot of stuff that's very hard to process and that I'm so sorry about. But I can say so genuinely nice to hear you say that you're doing well and that you're strong. You got through it. You talk about it openly to empower yourself. It's cool.
Yeah. And your podcast is a huge thing for me because it celebrates this idea of just opening up and talking and the human connection. I mean, you're A Beautiful Anonymous is my favorite podcast. Absolutely.
Thanks.
Because I'm introverted.
Take that Hollywood handbook.
I don't.
Take that Hollywood handbook. That's so nice of you to say.
I get a lot of my social stuff from this. Like I being able to connect with the callers and I love hearing people's stories.
That's very nice.
So it was.
We're all about
awesome.
Here at Beautiful Anonymous. We're all about the human connection. And also, sometimes poop stories. Also, that one time, just really graphic poop stories.
Oh, my gosh. That was not one of my favorites, but I still enjoyed that one.
I get that a lot. I hear that a lot about that episode. I hope that guy giggles every time he sees a comment or hears a comment like that.
Yes.
Yeah. So, wait, you said you're moving to New York in December.
Yes. I am. I'm making the big move.
It's cool. Maybe I'll.
I'm super excited.
I've never been to an opera. Maybe I'll go to some. Who knows? I'll be checking you out. I'll never know. We got good opera here in New York, right?
Oh my God! Yes, the Metropolitan Opera. These little companies around the boroughs.
Oh, there's like Brooklyn there's Opera. There's like
stuff.
Hipster opera.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like street opera, opera in the park, in Central Park.
Really? Is that why you were walking around Central Park? Was it a...
Dude.
You look scoping out the opera in the park?
No. It was for... That was another long story that would take up another hour that I just did not even go into.
We got a minute and a half. You want to give me the bullet points of the story we'll never know?
No. Well, it's something that is, it makes me incredibly happy, and it is a very nice surprise going on in my life right now. And that day walking around Central Park was probably my favorite day that I have had in my entire adult life because of who it was spent with and how we spent the day and the connection we made between each other or deepened between each other. It was pretty beautiful.
That is beautiful, but it was also the worst tease in the history of the show. I feel teased. I feel manipulated. I feel... No, that's awesome. That's beautiful. You got a fling. You got a spring fling happening in New York City, like a Woody Allen movie, like a... Oh, probably the worst example I could have brought up in light of so many of the things we talked about. I'm very, very sorry about that. What a horrific example to use.
Oh,
I'm so sorry. 10 seconds left of all the fucking examples. That was not meant to be a joke. Rom-com. That's my bad. Sincerely, I should have said like
a rom-com right now.
Yeah, John Cusack movie would have been a lot better. Oh, God. I'm so sorry.
Yes, John Cusack. Well, thank you, Chris. This has been awesome.
I don't know how to feel right now at the end of that phone call. I feel like we connected. I feel like we had some light talk. We had some laughs and then also some dark times. I've been through a gamut of emotions. I'm sure you have too. And we all got to step away, process those as we see fit. Thank you for coming on that roller coaster ride with me. Also want to thank the Reverend John DeLore and Greta Cohn who helped build this show in the early days. I want to thank Jared O'Connell, Harry Nelson in the booth. Thank you to Shell Shag for the intro music and all the music in our show. Shell Shag are great artists. Check them out. If you want to know more about me when I'm going out on the road, go to chrisgeth.com. Remember, we got anytime I'm touring this show, you'll see those dates up there. So do check it out. And if you enjoy Beautiful Anonymous, Apple Podcasts, rate, review, subscribe. It really does help so much. Thank you, and we'll see you next time. Once again, want to let you guys know, Redbox, it's out there. School's out for the summer. You're looking for ways to keep yourself entertained, keep the family entertained? Redbox has the video games to keep you entertained. Over 40,000 locations nationwide. You can rent, return anywhere, and you'll get a free one-night game rental from Redbox when you use the promo code STORIES3 with the number STORIES and then the number 3. Swing by a box in your neighborhood, or you want to make sure the game you want's there when you arrive, reserve it online, redbox.com/games. This offer is valid through July 25th, 2017. Subject to additional terms, charges apply for additional nights, payment card required. But look, getting into video games, it has never been so easy. Next time on Beautiful Anonymous, we hear a call from a parent going through something nobody ever wants to go through, calling us from the waiting room of a hospital. If there's any small silver lining, it must be nice that you get to see good-hearted people at their best.
Absolutely. I mean, I could fill the entire hour with story after story of ways people, I won't, but I could. I mean, that's how amazing. And it's so nice with all the awful stuff that we see and hear. Daily I get to see someone reach out to a total stranger. In fact, I have to tell you, my daughter, the very first week we were in the hospital, this is still 8-year-old, had this big list on the whiteboard of all the things that she had to go through that week. People had written notes, you know, get better, just little cute notes on it. And then she wrote, I don't even know when she did it, but I looked over at one point and then she'd written, love is everywhere on the board. And that's just become our mantra and helped us.
That's next time on Beautiful Anonymous.
Hi, I'm Matt Gourley. And on my show, I Was There Too, I interview actors who are on set for some of the greatest films ever made. You'll hear stories from the sets of Star Wars.
There is a great disturbance in the Force.
The Shawshank Redemption.
It was singly the worst audition I ever gave.
And Back to the Future.
This isn't just a bullet cafe. Something bad is happening.
Subscribe to I Was There Too on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app. This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.